Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Earlier this week, a group of people encamped at 600 William Street were removed from the site. County officials used the Trespass to Property Act to give 24 hours notice before a private security firm and the Coburg police would take action to clear the property. The site is owned by the county and houses offices for economic development, tourism, and a hub for the ambulance services. County politicians approved the removal plan at a special meeting on September 5th. Before any of this took place, two people intimately involved with the encampment provided their side of the story. Virginia Bailey is familiar to many who have followed the story of the encampment from its formation at the West Beach in Coburg to William Street. In this interview, she will tell her story about how the encampment started and how she got to this point. She will also reveal other aspects of the story not often, if ever, told. I'm so pleased to have with me today Virginia Bailey. She is a person who is living in the rough and is currently located at 600 William Street, and she's one of the people who's spearheaded the encampment. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you.
How long have you been living in a tent?
A couple months now, I guess. It was the end of July.
What were the circumstances that led you to living in a tent?
We were removed from our home due to, health concerns. The house was condemned.
Tell me a bit more about this condemnation of the house. I understand that this house was located on Division Street, just north of University. Is that correct?
Correct.
Describe to me the circumstances which led you to have to leave the house.
I'm not quite sure. We don't have all the information still as to why we're not there. They came in and did an inspection, and then we were told we had an hour to leave. I've never had my questions answered. There was already a bus waiting for us, and hotel rooms have been booked since morning. So I don't know. It looked like there something was to be found no matter what.
When you were living there, was there any indication that there were problems in the house? I mean, were you aware that there were all these things that were going on that were not safe, were of concern?
It needed some love, but it was a busy household. There was no smell or odor of raw sewage to me. I was certainly not aware of anything like that, no.
Because the town says it uncovered numerous fire and life safety concerns, and it involved, as you described, like a lot of agencies came in there to do those inspections to declare it as unsafe. I just wondered, you say there was nothing at all complained to the landlord?
The house, and it was definitely lived in. You know, every now and then you'd have to, the toilet, you'd have to use a plunger, and we had a leaky faucet sometimes. They needed some tweaks, but no, nothing that was alarming to me. I grew up in an older home. It's an old home.
So what happened to you when you were asked to leave? What were you offered in terms of services or assistance?
At that time, it was, we were told that we'd be back in the house or we'd be fine we'd be housed. We were told, kind of hustled onto a bus, given a hotel room for 3 days. And then come Monday morning, you know, 3 days later, they told us to get out, basically, and that was it. We were on our own.
So from that hotel room, then you were on your own. Am I understanding that correctly? So how did you get around? How did you, how does somebody negotiate all that when you're in that situation?
They didn't. They just told us to get on the bus. It was Friday. It was in the afternoon on Friday. They were closed. Everything was closed on Saturday and Sunday. And by Monday morning, it was time for us to be able to finally reach out to agencies. We were already checking out. We were put on a bus.
A second time from the hotel.
No, it was a hotel. We had to get out of there on our own. Missy, for a friend of ours or who works at the legal center, actually did all the shuttling back and forth on her own time for
Is that
Google
right?
that day. Yes,
Okay.
she did.
So in terms of services then, was there anybody that was contacting you from any of the agencies? Were they offering you any help, any money, anything else to help you at this particular point?
The Red Cross came the second day, and they gave everyone a card with a meal allowance for lunch and dinner, because breakfast was included with the hotel for the 3 days that we were there, and replaced some of our clothing that was left behind. And that, but they were the only ones, except for the legal center, and who, you know, Missy came on her own time after work even. And Greenwood checked in with us to make sure, you know, we were doing okay, but nobody from the county and no one from the town.
What position were you in then? What was the next thing that happened that was the next step?
The next step was we got a tent and we pitched it. We had nowhere else to go.
So you purchased a tent with the money that you had been given by the Red Cross? And
no, we were given a tent by Greenwood. The money by Red Cross had gone to feeding us.
Okay. And so Greenwood...
Greenwood, the Salvation Army, the police, and Ontario Works all do give out tents. They have for years.
All right. So you took a tent, and where did you go from there?
We went right. I had done some reading over the weekend, and came to the conclusion that my best option was to be on public land, be it county or municipal land. And so I just found the most kind of reclusive place. I went to the West Beach because I felt like it was out of the way. It wasn't going to be right in the tourist faces, but it was still a safer place for us to be. It wasn't hidden completely. So we went down to the West Beach and set up our tent down there.
Did you talk to anybody about that? Was it a conversation you had, or was it just something you figured out for yourself? Because there's quite a number of public places. I mean, you could have gone.
I'm an avid reader, and I had done quite a bit of reading on things after Waterloo and things that followed Waterloo. That felt like a good spot for me. I really didn't want to upset my neighbors. None of us want to upset our neighbors, right? So we were trying to be as much out of the way as we could be. And we chose to sleep on rocks. It wasn't for comfort. it was because we wanted to not upset people, but still be in a safe spot where there was light and access to amenities. The police station has a shower. The police station has a bathroom. It was close enough to that, you know.
So you mentioned in your answer Waterloo. Can you tell me what you understand Waterloo means, or what that might mean?
Know that from what I had read, that people have a human right to shelter and safety, and that the Superior Court it was a Superior Court that has decided that all government-owned properties on each level, they shouldn't be able to force people to live unsheltered off of them if there wasn't a room to accommodate them in accessible accommodation, in place for them. So... It's a long read, but basically if they can't offer accessible accommodations, that we have a right to be safe. And in order to be safe, that means we have to be somewhere. So the municipality and the town are supposed to, according to that ruling, facilitate us to a certain degree, being able to set up an encampment within those, you know, guidelines.
All right. So you went down there, the two of you. How did it end up that there were so many other people that came to join you? Can you tell me how that unfolded?
We've always kind of have been the center spot for a lot of these people for the last couple of years, especially throughout the winter. These are our friends. They're people that we've gotten to know. They come, they shower at our house. They get warm at our house. They would make their food there. So they just kind of, once we were there, they just kind of slowly came behind us. There's safety in numbers, right? I mean, everyone likes to feel secure. And once you start to gather, you know, two or three tents, then other people want to feel safe as well. And they just join. It just grew.
How did things unfold when you were down at the West Beach? Did anyone come to offer you support during
Absolutely.
Your time at the West Beach?
Absolutely. Actually, I think that... a lot of people would be surprised at the amount of support we've received. There's been, you know, the fair share of people upset, but we've also had people in the community that have just been fantastic with us. People come to drop off a case of water or some soup or bring down their blankets, their extra blankets, come down for a chat. Absolutely. They drop off coffee in the morning for us, you know, or a big thing of donuts. There's been just sit down to talk to us. There's been an amazing amount of support within the community.
Did any officials come down and talk to you? Were there any people from any of the agencies or community organizations that came down? Tell us about that.
Yes, we've had the bylaw came down the first day, and we kind of did a little standoff, not a big one. And the next day they came down again and were very kind. We had the deputy mayor down there, the MPP was there. The Elena from the county was there. Oh. We've had Greenwood there. We've had the legal center there. We had the help center there. We've had the police there. We've had, you name it. I mean, and for every department, I think, has come down for a visit.
All right. When they were coming down, what was the message that they were delivering to you?
You know, everything's still really unfolding right now, so it's kind of hard to say where that's going, but it depends. It was kind of up and down. I mean, people have personal opinions, but for the most part, it was kindness, and there was a lot of more support than I thought there would be.
So in terms of officials, were you told right away that you had to move along, or what was their reaction immediately to you?
Immediately, yes. They said something about the bylaw, but when we have a lawyer that's working with us, and she wrote letters, and I guess they read them, and they just kind of backed off us for a while. When we did eventually move, I wanted to stress that this was our choice to move. The winds, it just wasn't working for us down there anymore. It was too cold. It was too windy. We chose another property, and we moved there. They came the day afterwards and moved everybody else for some reason. I don't know really what happened there, but initially the main camp moved on its own.
How is it that you have a lawyer working for you?
He's working with us.
Yeah, working with you.
We are. Now, initially we contacted them with regard to Division Street. She actually was on site during the when we were removed from the house. She was actually there for that, and she's just kind of stuck with us through all of this as it's unfolded.
And again, just for her clients. Virginia, just so we're clear, she's from the Northumberland Legal Center.
Correct.
Okay, I wanted to make sure that was clear. Thank you. So with this advice you're getting, and people are coming down, you've talked to officials. Just tell me a little bit about the kinds of things that the officials have been saying. You mentioned that the deputy mayor came down. What kind of reaction did she give you? What kinds of things did she talk to you about?
Personally, actually, I wasn't there that day. I wasn't there at that moment. If I was, I was in my tent. But I don't know. I'm not sure about her. But, you know, most people have just asked us what we need and tried to find ways to make something work for us. They have, because there's been a lot more neighbor helping neighbor than people realize.
I've interviewed the county officials, the head of the social services department and the CAO for the county. When I was talking to them, they were very particular in telling me that they've been sending workers down from the county to offer services, offer alternatives, programs, shelter, all these kinds of things. Has that been your experience?
Absolutely. They have been. It's not that simple. People don't fit into the same box, and they don't necessarily have the programs necessary to help people, but they've actually tried very much to bring people around. They offered what they do have and tried to work with us to a certain degree. Certain people who fit into that system have left and gone to transition house. And a couple of them were really successful there, I'm really glad to say. They've made an effort.
When you've been talking a little bit about the public's reaction, you've mentioned that there was a lot more positive reaction than negative reaction.
Well, no, I'm not saying that to our faces, to us. I'm not sure the general public, but I mean, when people have come and interacted with us, it's been more positive than negative.
Can you tell me about the shooting that took place?
I really can't talk about that right now. I was in my tent the entire time. I didn't see or anything at all. I heard a pop. I didn't really even know what it was. And by the time I got out, of my tent unzipped, it was already gone and over with.
Did that create some tensions and some concerns for the people living in the West Beach when that took place and after
it?
So tell me about that and what was the reaction of the group?
Well, I mean, we couldn't really do a whole lot. You know, it's of course it's frightening, and I'm frightening. I don't even know how else it's just scary. We try to stay awake a little bit more, be a little bit more alert, but life has to go on, I guess, just like with anybody else. We're already kind of facing some giant challenges, and it was just kind of one more, I guess, that we had to try and group together and try and get through. There is a little bit of trauma, but we're working through it.
You mentioned a little bit earlier some of the reasons that you left the West Beach. Can you tell me why you decided to go to 600 William Street?
Because it was county owned. There is only three properties that are county owned, one being the courthouse, one being the county building, and one being there. I felt like it was the least disruptive place for us to be.
All right. Was it deliberate that you wanted to go someplace where that was county lands?
Absolutely.
All right. Can you tell us what was the rationale for that?
It goes back to Waterloo and other various places. There wasn't anything that was workable, feasible with us within the town lands, municipal lands at that point. That would just work best for us at this point. And they had changed the bylaw anyways the night before. No one was really quite sure what it meant, but it sounded like the county was going to have final say with us anyways. So
you were tracking both the political things that were unfolding.
We were present. We were there.
Oh, you were there.
Yeah, all of us were there.
Is that right? And so when you were listening to at the council meeting, what did you take away from that meeting then when you were watching the debate and the final decisions then?
I honestly don't think that anyone, including our lawyer or including the people at county, had any idea what any of that meant at first. It didn't mean anything. The way it was worded and the way it went down just didn't make sense to me at the time. I really didn't know what we were looking at. I just decided to move ahead and be proactive, I guess, and move ahead with what I thought would keep us safe.
Now, the county says it is trying to work with you and your group on William Street. What has been your experience so far?
Every workday, each and every day of the week, we've had someone present. There's not a single day that somebody doesn't come by to see what's going on and if we need anything and how they can help. I'm not sure. I mean, this is all what do you need today kind of solutions. Like, do you need another tent? Do you need eats cards? Do you need, your ID replaced? They're doing some wonderful things, but it's just kind of been on a what can we do for you today type thing rather than any sort of solution. I mean, of course, the solution is going to be difficult to come to anyway, right? But Chris, can you come over here for a minute?
Some people might wonder why you're not taking advantage of the services that are being offered to you. Why do you remain in a tent and why do you stay at William Street?
Well, first of all, the services that are offered to us there isn't enough for all of us. There just isn't. And there isn't something that fits for most of these people. Most of the people that aren't in a shelter are not there because they can't be. They don't fit in that box. They've already been kicked out of it. Chris and I were removed from the Transition House's motel program 2 years ago because a homeless friend of ours needed somewhere to shower and we allowed him to. And that was grounds for us to be kicked out of the program for having someone else in our room. We don't fit into that program. I'm not going to turn my back on someone else. I would rather be somewhere where I'm secure, knowing that at least I have my tent, my belongings are safe, than walking the streets at 1 o'clock in the morning with my backpack again. And that's called a common answer from everybody, I think.
What's the end point for you then? What are you looking for from the county or any of these agencies that are working with you? What are
affordable
the kinds of
housing.
Things that you're... So what does that
affordable
mean?
Housing.
That's a very general term. So can you be more specific?
We're looking for, first of all, an accessible sort of, an accessible emergency housing. So something that's more realistic for people to be able to live in. And there needs to be enough beds. There's couples, there's families, there's people living with pets, there's people living with mental illness. I mean, the justice, again, in Waterloo, laid that out pretty clearly with what accessible housing means. There that is not available in Coburg. Right now, what we're looking for is some places survive winter. Unfortunately, during the last, three winters we were here, I know that we had our house open for people, and a couple other places there no longer did as well. People this year, I really believe you're going to have bodies on our hands this year. People are going to freeze to death. I'm sure of that. I'm terrified of that. Right now, we're looking for a way to survive winter. I mean, open up somewhere where we can pitch tents indoors, open or help us find winter tents. There's got to be an answer so people don't die, at least for the winter. And then come spring, I'm hoping to find some property that they will maybe be able to do something accessible on.
So the house you were living in on Division Street, that was almost like a drop-in center.
Absolutely, it was. The coldest night of the year 2 years ago, the warming room closed because they were understaffed. We had 40 people in our home. That's why they're alive now. I know it's a pain, but people are going to die. Something has to happen.
You said a number of times when we were setting up this interview that you wanted to communicate some of the positive things that have happened. Tell me about this.
Yep. Thank you. That's what I was really going for. There's just a sense of community, I think, within just in the encampment. I mean, we've always been together as a group because we had the home that people would go to, and we've gotten to know these individuals and they've gotten to know each other. But watching the change in people when they have a place to rest their head has been amazing. The move from the beach to 600 William was a tiny bit traumatic for some people. I think that the beach gave them more stability than they'd had in years. But once they're there and they're settled in, I mean, I've had police officers tell me that calls are down by 20% because people aren't out wandering the streets all night. There's been everyone's in bed. They're all tucked in before midnight and up in the morning making breakfast for each other. I'm watching people who used to be known for stealing each other's backpacks, sharing their things instead. It's been an amazing thing to watch unfold. It's such a community within the community.
In one of our conversations, you described the encampment as your family.
Absolutely.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
I've said that for years. I did an interview with David years ago and used the same term. It's like watching. I have five children, and my boyfriend is one of four. So we've both had the big family experience where you squabble over boys or, you know, who stole whose toy, but at the end of the day, it's your family. And they've always come together like that. But they're very close. They are my family. They're people that are there for me, and I'm there for them. And not because we have to be, but because we want to be.
What do you think is the biggest misconception the public has about what you're living through right now?
It's by choice, that it's laziness, that it's our fault, people that they know aren't going to be sitting right here in 5 years if the way that the housing is going continues. I mean, it's only going to grow. People that they care about will be here. I don't know that we're lazy, that we want this, that we just don't want to get jobs. There's a million different things I've read. Most of them I can't even fathom thinking that way. So it's hard for me to address. I don't understand how people could imagine that anyone wants this life. It's not easy.
There may be people who think you are deliberately trying to create a confrontation with the county or the town or the bureaucrats or officials. Is that true?
No, it's not a confrontation. I'm not going to sit here and not be seen. I'm not going to be, that's not who I am. There's a problem here that needs to be addressed. I'm not going to hide it, but I'm not seeking it either. I mean, anybody who really believes any of that is welcome to come pitch a tent with me for a couple of days, live through the conditions we live through, and then tell me that they still think I'm doing this by choice. It's cold. It's really cold at night already. It's really hot during the day. We went days without a toilet. We have no running water. It's not easy. No one's doing this just because it's fun or just to get attention. Yeah.
Some people might look at this and not quite understand the logic of what you're trying to achieve here. Why would you live in conditions like that? I'm sure people are saying, why would you live like that when somebody's coming down and saying, here's this and here's that, and we can go and we can do this and we can help you with that. Can you just flesh that out for us a little bit more?
We don't have a choice. That's not, those options aren't for us. I mean, Chris and I would have to separate. This is my family. He's all I have left. He would be forced to sleep away from me. We'd be in different rooms. We'd be in different programs. We would no longer be allowed to function as a team. Our partnership would be severed. I'm not willing to give that up for anybody. And there's not enough of those beds anyway. I mean, even if we took them, there'd still be 34 people or, you know, whatever, however many people with nowhere to go. It's not like they have the answer for any of this. you know, I watched the interview with David Pacini, and he's saying go to the shelter. There's 4 beds at the shelter. 4. Let's do a head count. We can't all go to the shelter. So, I mean, if you're asking me directly why I'm not going, it's because of my relationship. If you're asking somebody else, it'll be because of their pet, or because they're not allowed there, they're kicked out of there, or because they don't feel safe there. Or there's many, many reasons to not go to the only shelter in town.
What's next, Virginia? What do you see as being the next steps?
I'm just hoping to make it through winter, to be honest. I at this point, I can't even look long term. We're just trying to figure out how to stay warm next month. Keep everyone warm and safe next month. I don't have a long term answer right now. I mean, we're working with some really bright people who have some really good ideas, and maybe I'm just going to lean on them a little bit for the winter till we get through it. I don't really know what else to do.
Do you get any sense of how long the county's going to let you stay at 600 William Street?
I mean, we've got to stay somewhere. I mean, if we don't stay there, then we're just going to move somewhere else. We're not going to disappear. We are all from this town. We all went to school in this town. We're not going to separate. That's not safe. So, I mean, they can move us, but we're just going to pop up again. We're here. We're real. We're not going anywhere. We live here. This is our home.
And also, too, you've said before, like, this is deliberate in your strategy to remain on public lands that are owned by the county or the
Absolutely.
Town.
Absolutely. I'm not going to trespass on someone else's land. I'm not trying to cause trouble with my neighbors. We're just trying to survive. We're just trying to survive and in turn help others do the same. All across the province, all across the world right now. It's not like Coburg's different. We're just finally having to look at it. But if you look in the news anywhere, you're going to see the same problems. You're going to see it's not getting better. It's growing.
If I could sit you down across from anyone in the town and you wanted to leave a message with them to understand and to appreciate what you're going through, what would that message be?
I would like any of them. I would want them to come spend time with us. I mean, real time. Come, pitch a tent. Well, you do it for a day or two. Come and see for yourself what's going on. Learn before you make the next decision. Come and put your time in. Educate yourself before you judge what's going on around you. That's all. Just come and learn, and then maybe we'll come for a decision together.
Virginia Bailey, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you.
That was Virginia Bailey, a person who is living rough and was a member of the encampment at 600 William Street. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast, or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.